enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And lastly, this is Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting."
First reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I don't know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'"
The next reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus."
In those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn."
Our reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Amen.
This reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And it says, Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, gives us the account of the wise men from the east who see the star, travel to Jerusalem, seeking the one who is born king of the Jews. The passage says that this happened after Jesus was born, and that by this point he was a young child, possibly up to the age of 2 years old. It had taken these wise men quite some time between seeing the star and making the journey from what is modern day Iraq to Jerusalem. The third verse of that passage says that Herod and all Jerusalem were troubled by their arrival. It's likely that people of this importance and bearing gifts of such value would have traveled in a caravan and actually as a large group. We have this image in our mind of we three kings, but actually it would have been a much larger company. Perhaps you've seen the movie Aladdin, either the animated version in the 90s or the more recent live action starring Will Smith. And during the song Prince Ali, as Aladdin approaches the palace, the genie creates for him a magical entourage filled with all sorts of people and animal and treasures. And it kind of rocks the city and everyone's like, whoa, what's going on here? It draws their attention in. In that song, it indicates that Prince Ali had 95 white Persian monkeys, 60 elephants, llamas galore, 53 purple peacocks, and 75 pure gold camels, as well as many other things. Now, I doubt that the wise men were quite as bombastic, perhaps, as the entrance in the Aladdin movie was, but it's likely that they had many camels and servants and soldiers with them. So you've got a unannounced visit by a foreign dignitary with many people with them. And so Herod and Jerusalem are a little bit troubled by their arrival, especially as they're seeking a baby born king of the Jews, and there is no baby in the palace of Herod. Now, history tells us that Herod the Great was a paranoid, vindictive man. Now, Emperor Augustus, who was mentioned in one of our earlier readings, said that it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was to be Herod's son. Herod, in his lifetime, had three of his own sons put to death out of jealousy and paranoia, and he would have seen this new king of the Jews as a threat to his power as well. So Herod gathers together all the chief priests and he asks them to find where, according to the scriptures, the child must be born. And it's interesting here that Herod actually acknowledges that the scriptures are true. He turns to them for the information that he wants, but this isn't the same thing as having a heart or a life that has been transformed by their truth. It's possible for us to prove that the Bible is true. Historically, it's accurate when it speaks of people within its pages, whether we've seen tonight people like Augustus and Herod, and we look at history and history says that they're real people that existed. When it speaks of geography, it always gets its facts correct. Archaeology constantly verifies the Bible. The more that we dig in the Middle East, the more we see that when the Bible talks of historical events and places, it knows what it's talking about and has never been shown to be wrong. The Bible is also true prophetically. The scribes look at the book of Micah and it tells them that the Messiah or the chosen one would be born in Bethlehem. And this was written over 500 years before Jesus was born. Jesus, in his lifetime, fulfilled over 100 prophecies that were written about him centuries before he lived. They weren't the vague writings like Nostradamus or the horoscope on the back of the newspaper, but these were clear, direct, and fulfilled literally. The Old Testament alone predicts that the Messiah must be a descendant of David, that he'd be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, betrayed by a friend, sold for 30 pieces of silver, lifted up and pierced in his death before rising again from the dead, and many, many other things as well. You know, the Bible is true, but acknowledging its truthfulness, theoretically, like Herod did, and having your life transformed by it are two very different things. It's not the evidence or the lack of evidence of the scriptures that's the problem when it comes to believing in God and believing in the Bible. It's often our own predetermined assumptions. And I'd like you to just ask yourself this evening. If I or someone else could prove to you that God exists and the Bible was 100% true without any shadow of a doubt, would you convert and become a Christian? And if the answer to that is hesitation or no, or you're not sure, then what it shows is that fundamentally it's not an evidence issue or it's not an intellectual issue, but perhaps it's a spiritual or an emotional issue when it comes to belief in God. See, Herod sends the wise men on their way to Bethlehem, and when they departed from him, they saw the star and they followed it from Jerusalem to Bethlehem until it came to the house where the infant Jesus was living. In verse 10, they rejoiced with great joy. And then finally, in verse 11, they worshipped Jesus because Jesus was God in human flesh. In 1995, American singer Joan Osborne released the song, What If God Was One of Us? It's quite catchy, but I'd like to tell you that 2,000 years ago, God was one of us. The wise men worshipped Jesus because he was God in human flesh, and then they gave him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold points us to the fact that Jesus is God's chosen king. Frankincense points to Jesus as priest. He's the bridge between God and man. And myrrh was used in that culture to anoint the bodies of the deceased, which was pointing to the fact that the destiny of this young baby was death. The Christmas story begins in Bethlehem, but it does not truly end until the morning of Easter Sunday. These three gifts are the basis of the tradition of gift giving at Christmas time. But what's sometimes overlooked in this scene is that there is a fourth gift that is greater than all of the others combined, and that is the gift of Jesus himself. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, God gave the world Jesus. And another well-known verse is Romans 6:23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." See, God gave Jesus to the world, and Jesus himself is eternal life. John 3:16 said that whoever believes, and this means fully trusting that he died for your sins, rose again from the dead, and now offers eternal life freely for those who will receive him. And so this evening, as I come to a close, I want you to consider the readings and the carols and the words that we've sung and heard read, but specifically consider your own response to who Jesus is. See, Herod knew some things about Jesus to be true, but he hated him, rejected him, and wanted him removed. The wise men, in complete contrast, worshipped him with joy. And it's joy that is the note that we're going to end our carol service on. But what about you? Will you consider Christ this Christmas?